You know, it's interesting. I sat down here. I'm going, you know, is it me or is it seem darker here in the sanctuary? And I was wondering, and then I noticed that our chandelier lights are not lit. And I'm going, I know we paid the bill, so I see other lights on, but it was very, very symbolic. I didn't put anybody up to this, but if I would have thought about it, I probably would have started the sermon with the chandelier lights off, because it is so a word picture of the Lord's message for us today. So you give that some thought as the Lord speaks to you today. Every once in a while, I have a Sarah Allen epiphany. Some of you may, well, no, all of you probably know Sarah Allen. And Sarah always tells me, Pastor, your preaching gets better because it gets shorter. And so I decided I could sum up the sermon for today in three statements and one question. I'm not going to stop there, Sarah, but I just wanted to let you know. Statement number one is God is light. Secondly, Jesus is the light of the world. And third, you and I are children of the light. If you can walk away with those three things, God is light, Jesus is the light of the world, and you and I are children of the light, you have God's whole message for you this morning. And herein lies the question. Are you being faithful to your Lord by obediently reflecting God's light in and through your daily life in this very dark and evil world around us, so that those who are lost can come to the light and be saved? Thus ends the three statements in one question. It is not time for Jesus to go to the cross. But there were scribes and there were Pharisees who moved with the multitudes that followed Jesus in order to find him guilty of something, anything under the Mosaic law. It was the time of the Festival of Tabernacles, and this was a Jewish holiday festival that fell in the fall, celebrating the gathering of the harvest, as well as the Jewish exodus from Egypt. Now you see, many came together in the synagogue to remember Yahweh's faithfulness to his chosen people by providing a nighttime pillar. If you'll remember, when they were going through the wilderness, during the day he provided a cloud, and at night a pillar of fire, representing God's presence, his protection, and his guidance during their post-Egypt wandering in the wilderness. As they all gathered here in the synagogue, there are 11 offering boxes, and they are in the court of women. And Jesus was being tested by these Jewish experts of the law, the lawyers, about a woman accused of adultery. Now, chapter 8 in the Gospel of John, verses 1 through 11, what it does is that it sets the stage for her trial that requires at least two witnesses to find her guilty and sentence her to death by stoning, as laid out in Deuteronomy 17. 5 and 6. And it says this: on the evidence of two or three witnesses, the death sentence should be executed. A person must not be put to death on the evidence of only one witness. And they're looking back in the Mosaic law in Leviticus about an adulterous woman caught in adultery is to be stoned, as well as the adulterer. Now, after Jesus declared, "Let anyone among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." They looked around. There were no witnesses present to testify against her, let alone two. There was not even one. And because Jesus loved this woman, he told her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go your way. And from now on, do not sin again." It is now the early morning of the next day. This festival of tabernacles is what they do, this illumination of the temple with four very large temple candelabras. And these are so well lit that everywhere in Jerusalem you can see the light in the temple. You see the symbolism there? God provide the pillar of light to guide them, to protect them, to provide for them. And this tabernacle that is going on, this festival of tabernacles, they're lighting these candelabras to allow God's temple to be illuminated, the illumination of the temple, so everyone in the dark can see the glory of the Lord. But the light from the sun is now beginning to rise. Many are now gathered around Jesus to hear his teachings. And we pick up in John chapter 8, verse 12. Follow along with me. And again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, "I am." You know what? He could have ended right there. Jesus said, again, look at the backdrop. The candelabras lighting up the temple. The sun is coming up. And Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." The Pharisees then said to him, "Wait a minute now. You're bearing witness to yourself. Your testimony is not true." And Jesus answered and said, "Even if I do bear witness to myself, my testimony is true. For I know whence I have come and whether I am going, but you do not know whence I come or whether I was going. You judge according to the flesh, the world, Satan. I judge no one. Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is true. For it is not I alone that judge, but I and he who sent me. In your law it is written that the testimony of two men is true. I bear witness to myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness to me." Two witnesses. And they said to him thereafter, "Well, where is your father?" Now I want you to note something right here. That Jesus used the name Father 21 times in this chapter alone. He was not trying to hide who the Father was, but he made his point. See, these inquisitioners only wanted to see Jesus' father to question him. Do you see that? Do you see because they were, that their father was the devil, they were wanting to know where Jesus' father was because they wanted to question him. They had no clue and never recognized that the I Am was standing right in front of them. Jesus answered, "You know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also." These words he spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, But no one arrested him because his hour had not yet come. The Lord's blessing tremendously, unceasingly be upon each and every one of you in the reading of his word. The Apostle John opened his gospel by proclaiming these words about the identity of Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and without Him, not one thing came into being. What had come into being, in Him was life. And the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. We are in a world of darkness. Everything, every place in this world, their chandelier lights are out. Declaring his identity as I am is the same name Jehovah revealed to Moses in Exodus chapter 3, where he said in verses 14 and 15, Jehovah said, I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me. God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations. I am. You see, Jehovah and Jesus are one and the same. Do you recognize him? Now, in the Old Testament, light symbolized the righteousness and goodness in the character of Yahweh, the Lord. It says in Psalms and in Malachi, for the Lord is a sun and a shield. God is the creator of physical light. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 2 to 4, it says, in the beginning when God created the heavens and the earth was formless and void, and darkness covered the face of the depth, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light was good. So God is not only the creator of physical light, God is also the creator of spiritual light, which can reveal and allow us to understand who, not what, is truth. Who is the truth? And that is Jesus. As well as giving us the capability to live righteous and holy lives. Now, I look at the translation, the New International Version of Psalm 76, verse 4, and it declares that God is radiant with light. And why is this so? 1 John 1:5 says, God is light. And in him there is no darkness at all. You see, just like love is a part of God and who he is, so light is a part of God's character, the very essence of who he is. Now, we looked at the Old Testament, but real quickly, in the New Testament, light symbolizes Jesus, the Messiah. In John chapter 9, as Jesus was healing, I love this part. What a great visual. In John chapter 9, as Jesus was healing and giving sight to a blind man who was blind from birth, he said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. I love the fact that the blind man, that the inquisitors, the interrogators, went to the parents of the blind man and said, who healed him? They said, well, we don't know. You got to go ask him. They didn't want to get in trouble. They didn't want to get kicked out of the synagogue. So they went to him and said, you know, who healed you? I don't know. This guy Jesus, but I don't know. How did he heal? I love the answer. I have no idea. All I know is this. This is my testimony. Is this your testimony? Is this your physical and spiritual testimony? Once I was blind, but now I can see. Do you recognize who Jesus is? In our main text for today, Jesus proclaimed in verse 12, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. It is because of Jesus that we are able to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as we walk daily through the process. It is a walking daily through the process of growing in holiness and in our Christian maturity. After Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem in John chapter 12, he said to the crowd, the light is with you a little bit longer. Walk while you have the light, lest the darkness overtake you. He who walks in the darkness does not know where he's going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become, here it comes, sons of light. I have come as light into the world, that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. I don't understand that if you recognize Jesus as the great I am, why in the world would you want to continue to wander in blindness, in the darkness and the evil of this world, rather than coming to the light and experiencing the fullness of the Creator who created you and loved you intimately. God, in the Old Testament, is light. Jesus, talking in the New Testament, is the light of the world. And then we've come in the New Testament as well, that you and I are children of the light. If we are children of the light, therefore we must walk in the light. In 1 John 1:7 it says, if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all of our sins. These are not just fortune cookie proverbs. These are promises from a living God to you. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 to 16, the Apostle Paul, this is the same one called Saul, who was what on the road to Damascus? He was struck down by a what from heaven? Great light from heaven. He admonishes the church in Philippi, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works. It is God who works. It is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill His purpose. God wants you and I to fulfill His purpose here as a community. The nominating committee has asked you to step up and to help fill those positions. The outreach committee has asked you to come and help them in outreach. The women on mission, the men on mission have asked you to come and help. Come help me! It is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill His purpose. If you are not doing that, then it is pride, it is sin, it is you is the problem. Do everything without grumbling or arguing so that you may become Here is my prayer, that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault in any warped and corrupted generation. Here's the promise. Boy, I wish I had special effects to turn these chandeliers on right now. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. Each one of you shines brightly as stars in the sky. Thank you, Nicholas. The light went off. Why are we to walk in the light? There we go. We are to walk in the light because we say no. We say no to a life. We intentionally say no to a life that lives in the darkness of sin. And we say yes to becoming, here it is, more like Christ each and every day. Guys and gals, that's our calling. To be more like Christ each and every day. Therefore, walk in the light because He is the light of life. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it in a cellar or under a bushel, but on a stand. And those who enter may see the light. Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye is sound, your whole body is full of light. But when it is not sound, your body is full of darkness. Therefore, be careful, lest the light in you becomes darkness. If then your body is full of light, have no part of dark. It will be fully bright, as when a lamp with its rays gives you light. So we're not only to walk in the light, but we are to witness and testify of the light. Similar to John the Baptist, and as Jesus commanded his disciples in Matthew 28:18-20, we are to let our light shine. As Lori so beautifully led our congregation with our choir, shine, Jesus, shine. Take the light of the gospel and be a living testimony of the light with your words and with your actions to those in a world around you. There is a reason why Jesus used the words testimony or witness. Do you know that in these short verses, He used the word testimony or witness 7 times. Jesus and His Father testify to who Jesus is. The I Am. And we are expected to testify right along with them to this very truth. Similar to the Apostle Paul's conversion on the road to Damascus, Jesus wants to use us. Jesus wants to use you to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in Christ. Yet always remember, you are not alone. So you see, with every single command, there is always a promise from the Lord. Jesus commands us to go. Go reflect His light into a world darkened by sin. And be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. As we obey His commands, let us never forget that Jesus made us this promise among many promises. And surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age. In 1 John 6-10, it states that if we say that we have fellowship with Him while we are walking in darkness, we lie and do not do what is true. But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sins. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Here's a promise. Listen. Yet if we confess or agree with God about our sins, He who is faithful and just, He will forgive us our sins and He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make God out to be a liar, and His word is not in us. 1 Thessalonians 5:5 tells us, "But you, beloved, are not in darkness, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light and children of the day. We are not of the night or of darkness." With all humility and reverence, does your life declare that God is the light of your life and that Jesus is the light of your world? And for those around you, do they see that you are truly living a holy life of one who is called a child of the light? Or are you just pretending to have fellowship with God and fellowship with one another, all the while you are walking in spiritual darkness? Has the little g God of this world blinded your mind to keep you from seeing the light of the gospel, of the glory of Christ, who is the likeness of God? If so, you need to stop lying to God. You need to stop lying to your loved ones. You need to stop lying to every single member of this church. You need to stop lying to yourself. Confess your sins, and God promises to forgive you of all of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Only then can you truly bear witness to what is true. Gang, herein lies the truth. Jesus is truly the great I Am. If you have never received Jesus Christ into your life as your personal Lord and Savior, then you are still living in darkness. You are still swallowed up by sin. Satan is the one you serve. Step into the light and come forward now to receive the Lord's free gift of salvation, His gracious forgiveness of all of your sins, and to have everlasting fellowship with Him and with one another in the light. He has an eternal plan for you. Jesus is the light of the world. He has revealed Himself to you now. He's waiting for you. What are you waiting for? You come. Come now.